Hey everyone, I'm Mark.
And I'm Alex.
And this is Final Stop for Final Fantasy Talks. Welcome, everyone, to episode 38. We are, of course, still in our Final Fantasy IX, although we are getting quite close to the end of it. So, episode 6 is still where you'd like to, if you want to, you know, start the series off, episode 6 is where you want to go if you're new and joining us. As for us, well, we just got the Invincible. Obviously, we went through kind of the boss battle marathon, we called it, with Garland and Kuja and all that stuff, and we tootled on out with the Invincible, went ahead and decided to go ahead and steal that. Right after that, and that's where essentially we ended, you know, there's mist on the whole planet, boom. Right after that, though, we are now in the Black Mage Village. And it kind of shows, you know, mingling of the genomes and the Black Mages. And, you know, there's a little bit of story here with Zidane and some of the Black Mages saying, like, thanks and all this. But it does kind of make sense to put them together, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does. It's kind of nice that, you know, they were able to save everybody from Terra before it all went to pot, essentially. Yeah. And yeah, it is kind of funny because a lot of the dialogue that you get there is them, like the Black Mages and the Genomes trying to better understand the world. They're talking about how Gaia is different because the water flows like time and all this kind of stuff.
Yes, some interesting things. And can't quite exactly remember what happens, but it's essentially like everyone, like, hey, you know, we need to get going. We need to, you know, go stop Kuja. And so they're collecting, they're talking, just some interesting things here. So Mikoto, which is of course, that girl in the red, right, that we now know and all that. She says some things. It is funny because one of the Black Mages is like, whoa, you know a lot of big words. But then it's like, yeah, she knows a lot of big words, basically telling them how, like, you are absolutely going to die against Kuja. Like, don't even try. She just flat out lets you know, you will die. Just don't even do it.
Yeah. Yeah, and it's also kind of funny, too, because Zidane's just like, oh, it's cool. She's my sister or something, right?
Yeah, my little sister.
You know? Yeah, pretty much. And she's just, like, shocked. She's like, what? You know, it's funny stuff going on. And
it is.
So she's being real negative about it, like, you guys don't stand a chance. And then Steiner pipes in with his, even a fly lives for a day.
It does. Even a fly lives for a day. It's like, heck yes, we at least have a day to live it up.
Yeah, and it was like, you know, it sort of works as an analogy, but then Dagger's just like, I don't really think that's what Zidane was trying to say, Steiner. But he tries, you know.
Yeah, hey. He came in, it's a pretty good analogy until you realize, like, oh, well, yeah.
Yeah.
We'll die. So after this, I think it puts you on the Invincible, and so there you go. You're able to fly around, which, of course, this ship, way, way more awesome than the Hildegard 3, which we'll kind of get into that a little bit. At this point, it really, I mean, here we are. We're at the end game. So we are once again going to pause the story, and we are going to try our best to just knock out as much of all this in-game, basically side content, what have you. We're trying to get it all knocked out. So we will bounce on a real little bit here. There's no real kind of rhyme or reason to why what we selected first. So we're just going to kind of go through it, and then, of course, we'll explain it. So we will talk about the Invincible first, since we have this. There's more stuff to do in Black Mage Village. But we'll go ahead and we'll talk about the Invincible since we're right here. And so, yeah, dude, seriously. Okay, we can land everywhere. Amazing, you know, that's Hildegard 3. It's like, but sir, there's ice down there. Mom, find some grass, Jeeves. We can't land in snow. What are you thinking? You're crazy, man.
Well, and that's such a classic Final Fantasy thing that they've done throughout a lot of them. I mean, even the ones like, you know, I went back and played 4 a little bit.
Yeah.
Same kind of thing with a lot of these, where the first ships that you start out with are really limited and where they can land. And
yes.
Unfortunately, the Invincible, it can land everywhere, except you still can't land in forests, unfortunately. So that's still the one place you're not going to be able to go.
That is the unfortunate thing, and that's where kind of the Chocobo, that's kind of like the drawbacks, is the Chocobo can also, you know, obviously fly. You have to fly and land in the forest, but nowhere else. So regardless, I would definitely recommend this ship because, man, this thing is super fast compared to anything else that we've driven on the world map. And it's like, it kind of actually, I'm sure they did that on purpose just for maneuverability, but also just to show like, yeah, no wonder that Garland and Kuja were just able to zoom everywhere all the time, you know, and it's taking us forever and they're just poof there.
Yeah.
So also, while you're on the ship, you can go to your menu, whatever, and it takes you on board the actual ship. It kind of has the classic Final Fantasy thing where you can find each of the story, or the party members, rather, and, you know, you could talk to them and they kind of reflect on their story. So that's pretty interesting. Some of them have some kind of cool things to say. But the main point that you definitely do want to go to the ship on board, despite having to change your party, whatever, is if you head back the one screen from the bridge, pretty much where Amaranth and Freya are. If you go to the left, there is the last Stellazio coin. So there we go. That is PCs. We finally got them all. And so that's a pretty cool thing, man.
Seriously. Yeah, that has been quite the side quest. And going back to what you said, too, about all the characters, man, it's been quite a journey on their progression, too. I mean, think about it. You know, like, Freya's been with... I mean, everybody's been with the party, but it's kind of crazy how... They've all tagged along, like Freya kind of had her moment with Bermese and Clara and Alexandria and all that stuff. And then she was just kind of, you know, along for the ride to try and get Kuja. And everybody sort of band together with that. But, man, we've all just been through so much through the story. And yeah, it's really cool. Of course, Kina's always just looking for food. But, you know.
Yeah, Kina just wants the food still.
Yeah.
It's so... We will, once again, we'll return to Black Mage Village, but first, I mean, come on, this is just way too, it's too inviting. You can't not do this instantly. And that is, of course, the last Chocobo dig spot.
That's right. Yeah, this is the final one. I mean, you got, so in previous episodes, I can't remember exactly which ones we covered. Multiple we covered these, but all of the Chocographs and all that stuff. And so this is the final hidden treasure where if you go right over to where... Terra used to be is it basically sunk into the ocean, and so there's some bubbles there, and use a dead pepper and you'll get the this is an awesome treasure, Ultima weapon, which is Zidane's best weapon in the game. You get Maximilian, which is what, second best armor or something?
Second
like
best
that.
Armor only for Steiner,
right? And then finally, the Invincible card. Now, this is one that if you guys want, if you want a really, really good card, make a save before this and try to get one with good arrows, because Invincible is one of the best cards in the game.
Yeah. You should have a variety of very good cards to kind of just look at your arrows, really, is what it is. Like, just try to reset and get an arrow scheme that you need. So, we will, of course, get to cards. We're not quite to the area that even Dawn's talking about cards yet, so we will leave that for then. Also, an interesting thing about that spot is actually there are no bubbles on that one, and so that's what actually makes
it really
hard to know where it's at. Yeah, I'd recommend looking it up, but it's not quite easy. You gotta kind of play around with it. Of course, if you've done enough hot and cold, you probably have like 70 dead peppers like I do. So it's just, you know, you just gotta listen to the thing over and over again, you know.
Yeah.
I tried my best there, but okay, so you got that. The reason why you'd even want to do that first is go get Zidane's best weapon. Heck yeah, man. The thing's amazing. Yeah,
exactly.
So if you go to Black Mage Village, it has been entirely updated. All the shops.
Yeah.
And so first thing is the gear shop. Obviously, it's right there by the entrance. If you go into it, these are all the new items that you can now purchase, and or I think some of them are brand new, aren't they? Like, so Wizard Wand and Siren's Flute. I did not buy those, and I did not look it up after the 1,000 other things I looked up for this, so I don't know what the abilities are. Do you happen to know?
So Wizard Rod isn't that great. It's basically, if you've been doing the Chocobos hot and cold, you'll have the Whale Whisker, which is basically better. Wizard Rod has, I think, just Curaga.
Okay,
so
nothing
like,
good.
You know, if you didn't have that, Siren's Flute, I can't remember exactly what that has on it. High Mage Staff, of course, is the one with Meteor.
Yes.
So, again, this would be the first chance to get that, unless you've been doing Chocobos Hot and Cold.
Yeah, the High Mage Staff, that is.
Thief Hat is brand new, and... And of course, caveat to all of this, these are all super expensive.
Oh, yes.
Like, end game stuff, so you're not... I wasn't able to get all of this. I'm sure you weren't either, Mark. It's just
Nope.
like way
No.
too much. But Chief Hat is one of the best hats in the game, especially for Zidane. I think
I
actually
think he's the
only
only one.
Zidane
Yeah.
can equip it. It comes with a speed boost. The abilities aren't noteworthy or anything, but the speed boost is great and the magic defense is also good.
Yeah.
Holy Mitre we had before. I believe we could have bought it. Now we can buy some more. Dark Gear is another new one. And the nice thing with that, if I'm remembering correctly, it's shoot, it's either increases shadow damage or halves shadow damage or something like
Okay,
that, but
cool.
pretty nice armor to get.
Yes, and then of course you had the synthesis shop. So it's been updated as well right here. So the first thing right off the bat you'll probably see is Mass Immune for Zidane, but that's what, you know, you got Ultimate Weapon in Mass Immune, dude. That thing is like 17,000 to synthesize or something like it. It's
Yeah,
ridiculous. It's
not
copious
that good.
amounts. And it's a lesser thing. The only reason, I guess, is it has sacrifice on it. I don't know if that's on anything else. So if you did want that, it's a
Yeah.
really terrible ability, in my opinion. But, you know, if you want it and you want a completion, you know.
Yeah. No, that's a good point. And this was actually the one, guys, that I was warning about getting those Zorlin shapes for. So, this is what you would need it for, the Mass Immune,
Yep.
if you wanted to get a couple of those.
Yes, and then you do have dual claws. That is the best available so far that we have for Amaranth. The abilities you should already have at this point if you've been using his different weapons is Aura and No Mercy, but the fact that, you know, hey, there they go. Pretty good stuff. Priest Racket's the next kind of weapon, and I mean, again, if you got the Tiger Racket, if you got the, you know, the Whale Whisker, if you got these other things, and don't think there's any abilities or anything on that that, you know, you wouldn't be able to get elsewhere as well. But now we are starting to get into some crazy good stuff, man. So the Bracer, well, really the first kind of two up are mainly for Amaranth, Bracer and Golden Skullcap. It has the abilities Power Throw and Power Up, which I think obviously Power Throw just increases his throw items, and then Power Up, I believe, increases like chakra, makes it, I guess, just heal for more. So that's pretty cool.
Power up, I've never really found it to be that useful. However, power throw, I think, is really underrated. If you get a whole bunch of those wing edges, power throw with Amaranth and that, he will be killing it with damage.
Yeah.
So that's always a good ability.
And of course they're also good ability or good items as well, Bracer and Golden
Yeah,
Skullcap.
it's the best. I think Bracer is actually the best, like for evasion and stuff like that. So
Nice.
you also got the Grand Helm.
Yes.
Ability on this is not that great. It's High Tide, but it is in fact the greatest helmet.
The
And
greatest helmet.
I think it's only Steiner that can equip this. Not
I
sure.
actually, I don't know. I think Frey might be able to equip it, but
Pretty
I was
nice.
not able to make it because I did not have enough money. So,
Yeah, it's
no.
like 20,000 gil, I
It's,
think,
yeah, it was quite a
honestly.
bit. And yeah, I just put that note in there, greatest helmet, because if you inspect it, that's what it says. It just says the greatest
Just the
helmet.
greatest
That's
helmet,
it.
yeah.
And then, of course, to match it, you can do Grand Armor as well, which also says the greatest armor. So, this is pretty funny. Now, Grand Armor is a little interesting, though, because it has the abilities Chemist and Restore HP on it. And so, it's like, yeah, I guess at this point, I would just turn Steiner into a potion healing knight. Why not? Like, it's just kind of an interesting
Yeah,
thing, you
right.
know, but. Now, there's some other good ones too. Brave Suit, man, that one is quite nice as well.
Yep, and this was the one I was saying. Unfortunately, requires a item that you can no longer buy. That's why I was recommending the Mithril Vest, because
Yes.
for whatever reason, that's what it requires as one of its components, and that you can no longer buy. So Brave Suit is really, really nice. And then Light Robe is the next one. And we could have gotten that as a steal from Kuja, but now you
Yes.
can just synthesize it. And I don't think it takes any items that are like missable that you can't buy,
Okay.
so that's also good.
Yeah,
But I
and
did want to throw in as well that the dual claws, that's another one that I think requires either like scissor fangs or so
it's
one other
Tiger
type of
Claws,
claws
I
that you
believe.
can't, tiger claws. Yeah, you can't buy those anymore, so just synthesize that with caution.
Yes, yep, exactly. Hopefully you have the items as well, you know, because we did kind of power through. And I will say with that light robe is quite good. If you know, if you did a Chocobo Hot and Cold and you followed us, you've had this for a very long time. But half MP, auto regen, and full life. So it's kind of mix and match with a lot of the different characters, obviously. But really good, only I think only Robe of Lords is better. But all right, so that is all the items. Sorry, it is always, you know, we always have to slug through that, and unfortunately we'll have a little bit more to do a little bit later at a different location. But before heading out to see what other places that we need to go to, let's do our bold move. All right, man, bold move. Why don't you go ahead and start us off?
All right, so taking it to Final Fantasy X this week.
I'll switch it up.
And yeah, this is kind of a part that I sort of forgot about, but okay. I'm surprised I forgot about because it's a really good one. So during Operation Meehan at Mushroom Rock Road,
yes.
There's that one part where you get to talk to Gata and he's all upset about not being able to fight and things like that, and your response dictates, you know, what happens to him essentially.
Of course.
So it's a bold move of Titus to encourage him to go and fight. Because we all know what happens after that. So that was a bold move, Titus, well, man. That's crazy.
It's a bold move if you know what's about to happen. He's like, yeah, go out there to your death.
Pretty much. He's just like, yeah. Because it's something like, you know, God is like, I should be able to fight too. And your response can be like, yeah, you should. Bold move, Titus.
Yeah, you should. Powering him to die. Yep, crazy. Yeah. All right, well, mine is in Final Fantasy VII, and you know, it's an interesting predicament, but regardless of all the details with it, I'm just going to say it, man, it was a bold move for Cloud to go ahead and follow through dressing up as a girl. I'm telling you, like, I wouldn't do it. I couldn't do it. It's just, I don't have it in me, and so that's a bold move for a man for going through with it, too. I mean, not only that, but he was, like, very talked and coerced into it, so, you know, I mean, he was very reluctant, give him that, but... Bold move.
I love how it's one of the items too, one of the key items you can get is like bikini briefs or something.
Yeah. See, that's the thing. You could go all in on it, commit to it. Bold move, man. Could. Pulled it off. Nice. Alright. Well, those are our bold moves, and let's continue on in the world map in Final Fantasy IX. So since you did just get a Stellazio coin, why not head on over to wonderful Trino? So I think we have two since we've last been here, I believe. So you should turn in the 11th one, and that will give you 30,000 gil. So that's quite helpful right now.
Yeah.
And then the last one we have that we just picked up on the airship, boom, number 12, Lord of Robes. So fantastic. I mean, it's the best robes in the game. It's got the really cool Reflect Null ability on it.
But really, the best thing, I mean, the defense on that thing is so awesome. And I think it has a little bit of a magic boost and stuff like that. It's a really nice, it's got good stat growth on it. And we haven't talked much about that, but the things that you have equipped can actually increase the rate at which your character's stats increase. So, you know, having your magic casters for things that increase magic is always a good idea, and spirit is a really big one for all of the characters.
And then the other ability it has is concentrate on it. So if you want, you can definitely go into your abilities and equip concentrate, so that way Dagger never loses it again.
Hopefully not. Man, that was painful.
It was. But once you do turn in that 12th one and you get the reward, the queen, whatever her name is, other than Queen something, she's like, quack, quack, yo, man, like, why do I feel like there's more out there? And you'll have an option. You can be like, because there is. And she's like, you're right. They have a, she like gives you the coins because they all have like the hint at where this 13th one is, right? I've never actually looked at what any of those hints are, have you?
Dude, it's impossible to tell. Honestly, I don't think... Yeah, I mean, because, you know, a lot of us have played this ever since you can just look things up.
Yes.
You know, well, like, way back in the day with me and Mark, we wouldn't have been able to do that necessarily because there was limited information.
Oh, yeah.
We had the guide. But anyways, so, yeah, supposedly, if you look at all of the key items with all of the coins, it'll have, like, a little story on it that talks about... Basically, a person is each of these Stellazios. Like, Sagittarius went to here to go see Virgo or something like that. Supposedly, that's supposed to tell you where it's at. But
Well, long story short, we'll let you all dive into that. Take your time. Read it. Go ahead. Go ahead and pause the podcast. Go read them all. Because I'm going to tell you that it's really easy. You just go right back to Quan's dwelling. I mean, it's essentially the exact same location where Scorpio is. It even says, like, once you go down there and you click it, he goes, oh, there's something buried underneath where Scorpio was. And then I actually forgot what the last one is. Do you know what it is?
It's like Ophiuchus.
Yep, there we go. Yeah, something like that.
Something like that. Yeah, it's a weird one.
Yes. And so that is your 13th one. So you go back and it does the animation all over again for every single coin. Isn't that so nice of them to do? But you will get 13 and you get a hammer.
Hammer.
And you might right now, especially if you've never played this, be like, what the heck? That was a point. No, it was definitely worth it. So just hold on to that said hammer. You can't get rid of it.
This is actually Cinna's hammer.
Yeah, yeah. You got Cinna's hammer. He was like, Queen called on him. He's like, knock, knock. Time's up. Your hammer must be passed on. It's
so weird. It's like nobody can equip it.
Yes.
You never get Cinna. Cinna is the worst character in the game anyways.
We already talked
about that.
Yes.
But basically, hold on to this. You can use it. It's a component for a synthesis item later on at a little secret place. So.
Yes. And we do, of course, have the monster house here. We're actually going to skip that for this week just because each week, Alex and I, we prepare for this. You know, we'll play in our games and... Dude, it's endgame content, guys. You got to give me some moments here. I can't just power through it like you all can. Like, I struggle. And so I need to do some leveling up. I don't know, Behemoth's not too crazy, but I'm just going to fell swoop it. Yeah, so we will leave that. Any of the kind of monsters or fighting things or that optional boss, we're going to leave for now. We'll probably just touch up on next episode real quick because it's not that much anyways.
We are very low level, guys. Like, I think this is probably one of the lowest level games I've done, to be honest. I'm like level, you know, middle 30s for most of my characters, and I'm pretty sure your guys are like level 30s, right?
I did a little bit of power leveling. I'll admit, guys, I cheated. I just turned on the 999 damage multiplier and turned up the speed and just started killing Grand Dragons, you know? And so, no, I think I'm into low 40s now, but regardless, I don't, you know, a lot of this other stuff too, I've just also never done. Like Ozma, you know, spoiler alert, we'll get to, I've never even attempted that fight before. So I kind of want to do it correctly, you know, I want to go about it so I actually have a shot. So I don't want to go into it being mid-level 30s, you know, no thanks.
I don't even think it's really... You have to have a lot of luck on your side to win at that level, that's for sure.
Yes. So, anyways, so Monster House we will get back to, and the Behemoth, we'll do that probably next episode. But some other thing you can do here is the Auction House. We haven't talked about it for a while, but some new additions for the end game is the Ribbon. You can now buy one, which, I mean, you probably don't need to. You should have more than enough of those. And some other thing that you... can buy, you won't be able to do it right this moment, but it's called the Magical Fingertip. We'll get to that here in a moment as well, but that will also be a new addition to the Auction House. Well, that's Alexandria, or I mean, that's Trino. Let's go to Alexandria, rather, because we get to finish off one of the coolest things in the game.
Yeah.
The Mystery Man himself, I can poof like a genie anywhere I want to at any time. Stiltskin, so...
No, he must have been on the airship to get to Terra and out of Terra. Man.
I'm telling
you, didn't see him, he was fishing. There's no other way.
He was fishing out for some ice cold Atlantic salmon, and he was like, "Whoa, Koopa, what's going on, man?" And he's like, "I got to get in there." That's what he's doing.
Oh man!
All right,
that's a funny idea to think that though.
So, if you go all the way back in Alexandria to where the steeple, the church, the tower, whatever it is, way back where you know we just keep stealing the poor kids' cards. None are in there anymore, unfortunately. But Stiltskin will be there. And he will offer you his last offer.
Yeah. And this time, this is a really... I mean, you know, we've been saying that his deals get better and better every single time. This is the best by far. Moonstone, Ruby, and Elixir for 5555 gil.
Yes.
Or 5,555. But Moonstone and Ruby are both very rare items.
Yes.
So... That's nice.
Well, and I believe, isn't this the fourth Moonstone? So I think that's it, right? Fourth. So if you followed us this whole way and you've gotten all the Moonstones up to this point, you get this, you will get that achievement. I can't remember what exactly it is at this moment, but...
Over the Moon.
Over the Moon, there you go. So that is all the Moonstones in the game, so you got them all. And as we've, of course, been suggesting this whole time, if you bought from him every single time, talk to him again... And he'll basically just say thanks, and he'll give you a ribbon, which, again, yep. you know, I mean, that's what it's like. Don't even spend the money at the auction house. You should have at least three now. But
yeah.
you also get the driving a hard bargain achievement. So we're going to be telling you which one things give you achievements. You know, we're not going to go through all of them, but, you know, some of the stuff, definitely, it's definitely worth the achievement. So
exactly.
Look at that.
I can finally finish up the Mognet side quest.
Finally finish up the Mognet. Yes. All right. Koopo's right there next to Stiltskin. Yep. We don't have any letters, but if you do talk to him, you will have to go to the Mognet option. They're like, essentially, it's like they're ready to figure this darn, you know, thing out. Like, what the heck is going on? So you will get a letter. It is from Koopo to Atla. And I will say something that was kind of cool about doing this whole chain thing is you get to revisit some places I haven't been in a long time. So this actually takes you to Burmecia. And, you know, most people probably haven't been back there for many things. But anyways, if you go all the way to the back, turn it into Atla, he will give you the next one, which is Atla to Mogrio, which is right back at the Black Mage Village. You know, we were just there.
That's the one challenge with this that I will say is it's hard to remember who the heck all these guys
are. Yeah, dude, seriously.
I mean? So I don't know how you would normally, like, remember that. And it's hard to remember because there's been so many.
So many.
But, yeah, basically after that, then Mogrio, and this is all, you know, like Mark said, this is all in reference to Mognet Central and why they've been shut down.
Yes.
So
all the then, letters, yeah, what they are actually are itself.
Yeah, exactly. So then Mogrio gives you one to Kamul. Kamul is the one in Ibsen's castle.
Yep.
And then he gives you one to go to Moise, who apparently, so Moise was the Moogle in Ice Cavern, but now Ice Cavern's been completely barred off with roots. So
right.
I guess apparently Moise is by Fossil Rue? I didn't know that.
Yes, so he's in Fossil Rue, and you do have to have Kina in your party in order to, like, take that side route. So if you don't have Kina in your party and you're in the reeds, you won't be able to actually go on the right route. So make sure she's in the party, and then, yep, he's right out front Fossil Rue, so kind of a cool thing to do. And he will give you one to Nagi, which is in Daguerreo, which we will get to a little later. And then the last one, he will complete the circle. He will have one to Koopo again, and now you go back to Koopo. So essentially, again, all of their, what they've all been talking about to this point is there's this item. What is that item, Koopo? I think I know Koopo. Ooh, I almost got it, Koopo. Oh, I know that item, Koopo. It's literally, it's the same thing over and over again. And then
seriously. This
is the one when you go to Koopo, you finally realize, okay, this is the super slick, the substance we need. I didn't really read all the letters fully, you know, I skimmed them pretty quickly, and I also did not talk to Koopo again or anything. Where is the hints that Ruby has the super slick?
Oh, I don't know. I'll have to okay. see if they talk about that.
I can't remember if they did talk about her, but regardless, Ruby does have the super slick. So if you just head straight, you know, I mean, her little theater is right there. And she'll be like, it's hitting my hair, you know? And, you know, she's doing her what? And Tarnation stuff and all that. And
yeah.
So she's had some super slick this whole time. It's not been the only stuff, but she's had it in her hair. So apparently it's a very nice, lustrous item. And once you do get that super slick, you will now get the well-lubricated achievement.
That's the funniest achievement. Seriously.
Yes.
But now that you've solved that, we can finally go to Mognet Central.
Yes.
And we've talked about this a little bit before, but basically, to gain access to Mognet Central, you have to have, at least an ocean chocobo, I think.
Yeah.
And you've got to have some dead peppers. So where it's at is kind of up on the outer continent by where Kuja's Desert Palace was, and there's this big old peninsula.
Yeah,
and
just go
it's
north.
It's a crack in the wall pretty much on that peninsula in the mountains there. You just use a dead pepper there, and there you go.
Yep, and so you'll be on Mognet Central, and really, there's nothing ever really to do here. Except for if you go upstairs, you got the little purple Artemisian Moogle, and if you give him the super slick, seems trustworthy enough. You know, he will then go oil up the, I don't know, machine that essentially sorts the letters. It looks pretty, I mean, it seems pretty basic system, man. We just did it for like 26 letters, so I don't know why they need a whole machine for this, but whatever, anyways.
Yeah.
it gets it going, yeah, and you will get a Protect Ring and the Back Online achievement.
Yeah. The best thing about Mognet Central is honestly, like, the music and just all the little Moogles and
yes,
everything.
Yes, well, even when that machine is running, it is pretty cool, man.
Yeah.
It's a cool little mail thing. Right. So, all right, that's well, that is Mognet. We finished it, so you've delivered all the letters. We finally got to the bottom of why their machine wasn't working, and the item's super slick, so cool beans. Well, another place that we could have went to, but we were kind of just waiting till right now to talk about it, is Chocobo's Paradise. So you can fly on over, do that. There's not a whole lot to do there, but if you do talk to the fat Chocobo, and I'm assuming that's if you've collected all the treasures and everything, right?
Yeah, I think so.
Then you will get the fat Chocobo card. If you also play him, I think he also will continue to play the fat Chocobo card, right? And Boko as well.
I think he just uses Chocobo.
Just Chocobo,
cards.
Okay.
I think. I'm not sure either on that.
I do know for a fact he does have Choco, or Boko the Chocobo. And of course, we'll talk more about the cards. But you can play him for cards. And then some interesting thing, though, that I don't think I've ever done. So I still need to work on this because I'm trying to get to this point. But 21 beaches. You can go and visit beaches. It's so strange. And what? You just got to visit them and interact, and once you do all of them, you'll get the Beach Bum achievement. So strange.
Yeah, he kind of gives you a clue, the fat Chocobo does too, about, like, you know, take Choco to every beach and
yes,
press something. It's either circle or X depending on what you're playing on. I think if it's right, PlayStation, it's going to be circle. If it's X, if it's Steam, it's X. But basically, yeah, this is a, I don't know, kind of tedious little side quest thing, but you basically have to try and go to all of the beaches one time, get off of Choco, and then press circle or X. You hear a little chime, that's how you know you've done it. And then as soon as you get all of those, the very last one, it'll restore your HP and MP, and now pretty much you can just go to any beach, press X or circle, and you can always get your HP and MP restored.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. So there you go. And that's kind of it. I mean, there's a little tiny bit of story there for that area. Like, you know, Choco initially says he'll stay, but then he, you know, eventually doesn't want to just leave you guys stranded there. So he goes with you anyways. So, I mean, it's a little tiny bit of a story, but, you know, kind of just a interesting place. And, well, of course, there's more to do. But before we get to that, let's do our Siege Trivia Quiz. All right, Alex is on his seed rank 31. There's technically not a seed rank 31. I looked it up. It's A. It goes up to 30, and then A. And then that's it. So we'll just do A+, and then we'll do A++, and then A++. You know, we'll just do that. But anyways, all right, he's on his 31 test. Let's see how Alex does. All right, Final Fantasy X-2, man, starting it right off here. You can steal a mute shock from Bahamut in Chapter 2.
True.
You had to think a lot more on that one. Alright, Final Fantasy 9. Amaranth wears ropes around each arm. Like, upper arms.
Yeah, I know what you mean. True.
Alright. Final Fantasy 13. The particle accelerator gives the most upgrade experience.
False.
Final Fantasy VII. Vincent does not have a weapon with triple AP.
True.
Final Fantasy X. You get a Ring of Wisdom at Besaid Cloister Trials.
False.
Final Fantasy XII. You have to find 9 Craftsman Moogles at the Salika Wood.
I think so, yeah, true.
Alright, last one. Final Fantasy VIII. The item Power Generator teaches Quistus Ray Bomb.
True.
Alright, let's recap. Final Fantasy X-2, you could steal a Mute Shock from Bahamut in Chapter 2. You said true, it is true. Man, you even remember these random steals.
I wasn't 100% on that one, but I thought it was... I knew he had something.
Well, yeah, okay, I knew he had something. All right, Final Fantasy IX. Amaranth wears ropes around each arm. You said true, and it's false, man.
What are those? Okay,
they're belts.
Ah.
All right, he's tying off. Like, okay. Seriously, like, it's...
Yeah.
I was looking at that, I was like, why in the world would you wear belts around your biceps? I just, oh, I'm at three notches today. Oh, I'm so ripped. I'm gonna go drink some muscle milk and get up to four notches. Like, I don't know.
It's like a tourniquet to get his veins to pop or something like that, you know?
All right. Final Fantasy 13. The particle accelerator gives the most upgrade experience. You said false, and it is false. Which one gives you the most?
Ultra compact reactor.
Yeah, sure is. See, I figured that one was gonna probably be a little easy because I mean it's. I was thinking about that at the question, and then I looked at the experience. I'm like, well, everyone's gonna know this, man. I mean, because the particle accelerator is second, and I think it gave something like 3,400 experience. Well, the ultra compact reactor gives 40,000, so it's like, well, I didn't even make it close.
Especially when you're going for those tier 3 weapons.
Dude, you have to have that.
You just have to do that.
All right, Final Fantasy VII. Vincent does not have a weapon with triple AP. You said that almost instantly. True, it is true. Yes.
Yeah, again, I've done so much grinding on 7, I know that Cloud and Cid are the only two, unfortunately, that have triple growth.
All right, Final Fantasy X. You get a Ring of Wisdom at Besaid Cloister Trials. I figured this one wasn't gonna work, but I thought I'd pull a quick one. It's not the Ring of Wisdom. What is it, man?
Rod of Wisdom.
The Rod of Wisdom. Yeah. I was like, can there even be a Ring of Wisdom? I don't know if there is, but
could be.
You know. There you go. All right, Final Fantasy 12. You have to find 9 Craftsman Moogles at the Sleeko Wood. You said true. It is true. There are 9 of them. Yes.
Oh, nice. Okay, I wasn't sure on that. That was a legit guess.
Yes, you do have to find 9.
Guessed right.
And our last question, Final Fantasy VIII, the item power generator teaches Quistis Ray Bomb. You said true. And that was true as well. So I apparently made it way too easy for you this week.
I just played too much Final Fantasy, man. What can I say?
Why don't you go outside every once in a while? All right, so, we're... Alex got his rank 31, whatever, and we are going to go ahead and continue on Final Fantasy IX. All right, so a place that we've been before and that we love, that we're going to head back to now, is Daguerreo. So, not much has been updated here. Right off the bat, the gear shop did have a few additions, addition to Black Mage Village. So you can buy Ultima Sword, which is pretty sweet. I mean, it looks cool, at least, in my opinion. I don't know. Yeah, I mean, obviously, you got Ragnarok still, so that's going to be the best.
Well, and if you hadn't have gotten Ragnarok, I think this is the one that has, like, stock break or something. Like, this is the point in the game basically where even if you haven't been doing Chocobo's Hot and Cold, you can finally start getting some of those crazy, like, Beatrix moves on Steiner finally.
True.
So
yes, so you can buy that. You can also buy Kaiser Knuckles now, so you've been a few opportunities to get it, but now you can buy them. The Power Wrist is pretty good.
It's pretty nice. I think the best thing about the Power Wrist is if you're trying to permanently increase certain characters' strength, it's a really good bracer to equip for that and get them to level up on.
And then you got Aegis Gloves, which I actually don't know too much about. Same with the Kaiser Helm. Either. I think they're just, you know, at this point, it's going to be really just kind of looking for which abilities maybe you still need to learn your characters and then just kind of, I don't know, balancing it however you want with defense and, you know, additional stat boost. Kind of up to you at that point. But you can also buy Ninja Gear, which we, I think, had an opportunity to get one as well, which is a really good item. And
this is actually, really good. I got to say, like, definitely this is the one out of all of these items that we talked about you want to get a bunch of. There are 14,000 gils, so they're really expensive, but the big one with this is it actually absorbs shadow damage, which later on you're going to find out how important that is.
Yes. Yeah, so Ninja Gear, and then the last one's Dragon Mail, which I don't even think I looked at, so I...
Yeah, it's exclusive to Freya.
Freya's, kind of to match Maximilian and Grand Armor, I'd imagine, and so... So that's kind of it for the updates. Now you can go to the treasure hunter guy, the forearm man. I didn't put down the notes because I wasn't sure what was going to happen at this point, but I talked to him, man, and I finally got it. I got my rank S.
Rank S? Okay.
Yep, I got it. And so I got this scene for the first time ever, and it is hysterical. Absolutely fantastic. So the forearm man, he'll be like, you're rank S? And then he's like, forgive my impudence or something like that. And he like runs away. And so if you go to him at the entrance and talk to him again, he'll do, dude, it's funny stuff. I've seriously never read this. Like, you know, I became treasure hunter so people would stop making fun of me. And he's like, I'm just a loser rank D treasure hunter, you know?
Oh man. Yeah. So this dude, seriously, so this dude the whole time, you know, throughout the game has been like stealing and trolling us and all of this kind of stuff and acting like a big shot. It turns out he's just a lowly rank D.
And he's like, you know, he said he joined it to go make a name for himself so everyone will stop calling him Four Arms and all this. And then he runs away. And then he comes right back and says, oh, I forgot to give you my name. And then you find out his name. It is Steven. No, it's Gilgamesh. I mean, we kind of already figured that, you know, already knew that, but Forearm Man's got swords. Come on, who else could it be? Steven.
No, but it is kind of funny. I like that they had Gilgamesh in this game.
Yes, really cool.
There is another little part of the story with Gilgamesh that we'll get to later that's an optional thing, but... Yes. This is pretty much the funniest part that we find out finally who he is, and you know that he sucks as a treasure hunter.
Yep,
so
he sucks. Well, we already know he's stolen a couple things from us, and we just keep stealing them right back, or he drops them or whatever. Yeah. So, all right. Anyways, the main kind of dealio to come back here and start a little side quest is of course the treasure, but now it is the Excalibur little side quest. So there is an old man. His name is literally Old Man. He is up on the upper balcony. And if you go and talk to him, he will say something pretty grotesque, in my opinion, man. I mean, because seriously, let's just think about this literally in the sense. He's like, oh, you know, blah, blah, blah. Before I die, I want to get this item. It's the magical fingertip. Whose severed fingertip is like just sitting there, like waiting to be taken for themselves? Like, I don't understand this. A magical fingertip?
It's like, yeah, I mean, honestly, it's kind of like somebody's trying to evade some fingerprint testing, some forensic analysis.
Yeah,
so they're
no,
like
right.
committing
well,
kinds of.
I guess you could look at it that way, but it's fingertip, not fingerprint. So, I mean, you know, yes. Maybe
Fair
he's
enough.
Trying to break into some secret laboratory and or you know, forbidden library section in Daguerre. I don't know.
Palace.
Yeah, there you go. He needs it. He's going to get some next. After that, you have to find him some. You know, some double-sided tape and some other things, so that way he can
seriously.
Make a scanner. Anyways, okay, so what you gotta do is head back to Trino. Let's go to the auction house. Now, we did talk about the kind of key items in the auction house, and this is way back. Don't even ask me where. I don't know. Probably teens for the episodes. There are some artifacts, and we need to buy them and then sell them. And we've already done that, so to speak, in our game. But if you haven't, it's Doga's or Daga's artifact. That sells to the scholar inside the synthesis shop. Remember, with these, you can either take the offer or not take the offer. This one, he'll just sell it the same price, so just sell it to him. The next one is Yun's mirror, I guess, something like that.
Yeah.
He is the fancy-looking nobleman outside the synthesis shop, outside the whole building. Wait till the second offer to sell to him. He'll pay you more. And then the last two go to the same person, which is the adventurer outside of the synthesis shop. And the first one is Rat Tail. If you wait till the second offer, he'll pay you more. And then the second item is the Griffin's Heart. Same thing. Wait till the second offer, he'll pay you more. Once you have all four of those and you've sold them, now the magical fingertip will show up in the auction house.
If you are lucky
enough to get it. Dude, I was going in and out. I was flying around. I was doing some other things. I came back, going in and out, and still hasn't shown up.
Yeah, I was going to say, this is definitely one of those ones, even if you do everything that you just said, is hard to get into the mix. Sometimes you have to save your game and do a reset to get the game to... You'll get stuck
restock.
In the loop of it just not showing up. So it can be kind of a tricky one to get to show up, and then even when you do, you better have some serious gil on you.
I mean, I was not able to get it, but apparently you can buy it anywhere between 40,000 to 60,000 gil. So
it's insane.
That is quite a bit. Thankfully, if you did actually just buy and sell all these things, you did just make a profit off all of it. But Still, a lot of money. Regardless, once you do eventually get the magical fingertip, you make sure you make yourself a copy of it before you give it to the old man. That way you can steal the jewels from him. But he will then give you Excalibur. So really cool thing about it is, obviously, Ragnarok is better than this, but it's got a time-worn ability on it. And that is Klimhazard. So pretty cool ability, man.
Seriously, but like I said earlier, this is kind of where Steiner finally starts becoming like Beatrix, like a real general, like a really powerful character in the party. So,
yeah, seriously. All right, well, that actually does it for Daguerreo. I mean, there's not really anything else to do there unless you just got to come back for the treasure hunt or whatever.
Items
and stuff. And so moving on to our next little space is you can actually return to Medain Sari, and I never knew this. I've never done this. I didn't know this was even a thing. I don't know how you would even, but I just, let's go through it. All right, so there is an achievement called Crack the Code, and it's involving a little kind of side info involving none other than, we'll get to her in a second. Hint, hint, she's the hottest lady. All right, so make sure that you enter with Dagger in your party. So if she's in your party, and you can have Amaranth in there too, it doesn't matter, but you just need Dagger in your party. You're going to work your way all the way back to Iko's house, and then you'll see none other than Lonnie, the most beautiful bounty hunter in all the land. She's kind of like where Kino's fishing from, kind of down there on that dock. And so you barely see her, though, because she, like, just flees. She runs for it because you got Dagger. And so what you got to do is you got to go ahead and leave, switch out your party. You do not want to have Dagger and Amaranth in your party. So again, Amaranth didn't matter in the beginning, but now you don't want to have either, because remember, Lonnie has beef with those two. So she doesn't have beef with us because we fought her too, but you know, whatever.
Yeah, and just on top of that, like, what, she's been chilling there the whole time? Like, what's she been doing?
Exactly. What has she been doing, right? So, okay, so then you re-enter, you just don't have them in, and you can talk to her. And to answer your question, Alex, she tells you, apparently she was lost because the mist, or no, she couldn't return Falsaru because there's roots or it collapsed or something. Like, so she couldn't go back, and she, I guess, was not doing so well, and the Moogles nursed her back to health, and so she's just been sticking with the Moogles. So she's just been living there now, so kind of an interesting thing. But if you talk to her twice, that second time, she'll say something about seeing some words, and maybe there's some meaning with them on the Eidolon Wall. So you go to the Eidolon Wall, and now it's like completely different, isn't it? It's like a different viewpoint. You're not looking like into it. Now you're like, now you are in the center, and you walk either left or right.
It's like, it's gone almost 2D in a way, like the way the camera angle is. You're sort of just looking directly at the wall. And you can only really go left or right around, like, you know, circular around the room.
Yes.
And so I'm not entirely sure how you would figure this out, but I guess it's something along the lines of you have to walk around the circle completely once clockwise.
Yes.
Right? And then you turn around after you've done that, and you walk around once counterclockwise.
Yes.
And you do this 9 times until you hear some chimes.
Yes, exactly. And each time there will be a little chime. You'll go around and be like, bing. And then you turn around, you walk, and it'll bing. And so once you do that 9 times, it will play a different sound. And
like a completion.
It's like your health and MP are restored. All status alignments are, like, you know, taken off or whatever. It says that. And now you can kind of go and position yourself for a secret message. Also, there are messages all around. So if you read it, it's kind of interesting. It's this kind of backstory and, like, little personal stories at, like, the summoners, I guess, essentially. But if you go kind of to, I don't know, like the Ifrit looking one in between, I don't know, go to the right, there'll be like a message. And this man's like talking about how he was a, you know, bad father and all this stuff. And then apparently this how do people know that this is,
well,
in fact, Dagger?
Yeah, I know. It's kind of weird because he's talking about his daughter and things like that. And so I guess people just
are assuming.
They're making the inference that it's the game put it in there for a reason. Because it would be kind of strange if it was just a random person, right? So,
well, it does have random person stories, though.
I guess. Yeah, that's a good point. But anyways, pretty sure, you know, it's been talked about. I think a lot of people agree that it is, in fact, Dagger. So you actually finally get to know her real name, which is really interesting.
Yes,
I'm not gonna spoil it.
no, it's Topaz. That's her real name. So we won't spoil it. No, we will let you figure that out for yourself if you so choose. But
Yeah,
yes, it's you do
it is
find out
very interesting.
apparently her real name. I didn't know anything about any of that, and so I did that, and I was like, "This is how
'Cause
the
how would
heck
you
would you
figure that
know?"
out?
Yeah, you just keep walking back and forth 9 times. Who would do that naturally? I would give it half a turn before I'm like, "No, I'm going back. This is pointless. I'm out of here."
Exactly.
All right, so we do have some more friendly monster stuff. We do have the last friendly monster, Yan. We are not going to get to that either. We're going to leave that kind of toss in the kind of monster Nighthouse battle thing again. And then one kind of last thing that we'll talk about on this episode is another side thing that I never knew about, and apparently it's incredibly tedious. So I mean, I will definitely do it because I've never done it before, and so I'm kind of interested. But it's following, like, it's called like the Nero family, like, you know, the Bonero, Gennaro, and Zanero, right? And so if you go over to Nimblum and you head into the theater district and you go to where basically a Tantalus hideout is, you will get a tiny little scene. And this one, I forget which two of them, but there's two of them. Let's just say Gennaro, Bonero there, and they're like, "Whoa, where's Marcus and where's Blank and blah blah blah. We gotta go find them." And so they just run off. And that's literally it. That's all you get. But apparently, and we're gonna, I guess, maybe talk about this probably through the next episode as well when we head there. But we're heading to a place called Memoria next. I mean, that'll essentially be the very next thing you hear if you keep playing these episodes, right? But you gotta keep coming back after, like, seriously, you defeat a boss, come back. You have a specific conversation, you gotta come back. And the story just, I guess, keeps progressing. And yeah, that's kind of annoying. You got to run all the way down into the theater district each time. But if you want to see all the scenes, well, there you go.
I never really knew about anything about that either. That's kind of an interesting little
Yeah, we'll
side quest thing.
see what it's like, man. I'm very curious to see how hilarious this is. And there are some more things we know. So as we said, anything that's kind of battle related and fighting bad guys, we will probably handle next episode. And/or it'll just be coming at you soon before the end of Final Fantasy IX, because we're approaching the end, friends. All right, well, that's going to do it for us on this episode. We thank you so much for hanging out and for supporting us by listening to the podcast. If you'd like to get more involved, you can head over to our Instagram. It is the same handle, Final Stop for Final Fantasy Talks. And we just post, we post the media, we ask some questions and stuff, and you, of course, can give your opinions and experiences anytime you want. We love it. And you can also stop off at our website, finalstopfinalfantasytalks.com. Again, a little more info there. We got some blogs. You can listen to the episode, and we might have some additional things coming at you soon. We'll see. All right, that's going to do it for us this time. I'm Mark.
And I'm Alex.
And this is Final Stop for Final Fantasy Talks.